Good morning. How's everybody this morning? I'm pretty nervous. What I've been praying on for the last while, and what is really God has really put on my heart, is the cost of following. What it means for us to truly follow Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm going to share a little story about myself and how I came to ministry. And I'd just like to confess that it took me like 3 years to actually answer God's call in my life. He came to me one day, and I'm like, no way. Right? I come from a large atheist family, and just nobody believes science is king and all that kind of stuff. So I hesitated and I procrastinated greatly. I wasn't willing to submit. So over the years, he kept pecking away, kept pecking away. He put me in charge of facilitating a few Bible studies, a couple here at the church, one at my home. And as I opened myself up to those things, I began to follow. And then he told me one morning as I was praying, he wanted me to become a minister. So I started talking to Pastor Norm and how we get that going. And, well, I just finished 4 of the 6 courses I need to get my district minister's license this summer. So I'll be getting 2 more. I'm not done yet. And he told me that he is going to change my life dramatically. I will never be the same. But the kicker of that is I have to be open to it, and I have to choose to follow. So we're going to look this morning in Luke 9, verses 57 to 62. So this is the cost of following. Now, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him being Jesus, he says, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied by saying this, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Now, I think what Jesus is meaning here is that if you are going to follow me, it may mean that you end up homeless. It may mean that you have to give up everything that you own to follow me, to truly follow. You know, as I read that, I was like, am I ready to do that? I'm not sure. If I'm being honest, I'm not sure. Right? Now, in Luke 57 to 58, so Jesus says to another man, he actually says to a man, "Follow me." The man replies, "But Lord, let me first go back and bury my father." Right? So, and then Jesus replies by saying, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." For me, in my life, when my mother was in the hospital dying of cancer, this piece of scripture spoke very loudly to me. You know, yes, my mother is dying, but I know that 2 weeks prior to her being in palliative care, she gave her life to Christ. I was able to pray with her and read some scriptures and be with her when she did that, which was totally amazing. So when I was in the hospital and there was just grief all around and suffering everywhere in that particular area of the hospital, this piece of scripture stood out. So I prayed and I asked God, I said, "Okay, well, what am I supposed to do here?" So my job in this instance is my mom's future was already written. And it was about to be fulfilled. So my job in this instance is, yes, I'm going to be sad, I'm going to grieve, and it's going to be something really hard to do. But I'm also supposed to proclaim the kingdom of God. It's plant seeds, discipleship. It's part of the cost of following. Yes, we're going to be faced with hardships. We're going to be faced with grief. We're going to be faced with things that we never thought we'd ever get past. While at the same time, as Christians and as followers, we're called to proclaim God's kingdom. That was incredibly difficult time. I still think about it, and I'm still saddened at times, but it does not stop me from moving forward. If I'm going to answer God's call, then I have to move forward. I can't dwell. So then, in Luke 61 to 62, Jesus' message here is probably the most profound of all three of the verses. So God says, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Seems reasonable enough request. The Jesus reply to this is this. No one who puts hand to plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What exactly does that mean? Well, I really had to pray hard on that one. But God broke it down. And this is what I believe he was saying, is if we go back, we will linger. We will dwell. We will not follow. We'll start making exceptions. We'll start procrastinating. God will say, I need you to do this. And we'll go, oh, maybe I'll do that tomorrow. Or I'll wait an hour to do it. We won't follow. We'll begin to rely on ourselves. We'll sink back into old habits. We will not follow. Another example of this is in Acts 9, chapter 9, verses 10 to 14. This is another example of what it costs to follow. This is Ananias and Saul. And the Lord wants Ananias to go to Saul and pray with him. Now, for a history of Saul, before he became the apostle we know as Paul, he was a hater of Christians. He persecuted Christians. He put them in jail. He tortured them. He was in charge of doing that stuff. So Ananias is going, really? You want me to go to this guy who can't wait to chop off my head, and you want me to pray with him? So Ananias hesitated, but he eventually did it. He went and he prayed with Paul, or Saul. Acts 9, 13 to 14. Lord, answered Ananias, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Wow. So, and then in Acts 15, or sorry, 9, verse 15, the Lord says to Ananias, he says, go. Commands him, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. So God's plan for Saul is to use him as a disciple. And the only way for Saul to eventually become the apostle God wants him to be is for Ananias to go and pray for him, because God is using Ananias as an instrument to bring Saul to God. So I wonder if Saul had refused to answer and refused to put into action what God commanded him to do, would Saul have become an apostle? I don't know. So now let's take a look at Moses. He gets called by God to go into Egypt and to plead with Pharaoh to bring his people out of slavery in Egypt. So in Exodus 3, verses 2 to 4, an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses after Moses is exiled and he's out in the desert. And the angel appears to him from within a bush. The bush is on fire. You know, can you imagine crawling out of your tent and there's this burning bush in front of you and it's talking? Huh? Right? What on earth? So the Lord comes to Moses. The Lord says, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, Moses answers the Lord by saying this, "Here I am." Now, can you imagine the Lord calls you and you say, "Here I am." He comes to you in a burning bush or a vision of some sort and answer, "Here I am." Something weird and frightening and you just have no idea what to think of it. And he says, "Here I am." So after this, the Lord says to Moses, he says, "I want you to go into Egypt. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you, hi, I want you to go and plead with Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt, out of slavery." Moses wonders, so Moses does this. He goes in and he pleads with Pharaoh, and we know all about the plagues. I can do another sermon on that. But I can't help but wonder what the consequences might have been if Moses refused to obey, refused to follow, saying, you know, he could have said, "No thanks, God, I'm going to sit this one out. That's too much for me." Right? Would Exodus have even happened? How would that have changed the story if Moses was not ready to follow and if he didn't answer the call? So, Gabe, there's a short little video we want to play here. So when I saw that video, and then I read Luke 9:57-62 again, it kind of put a whole new twist on it for me. It kind of redefined exactly what following is all about. You know, it's not about gaining accolades. It's not about, you know, "Oh, look at what I've done. I've done this good thing. I've done that good deed." It's about eternity. When we agree to become Christians, when we give our lives to Christ, that's what we're agreeing to. We all have a purpose and a meaning. We all have a direction, a new life in Christ. And if we choose not to follow or to answer that call, then how does it affect that white part of the rope? What happens there? So, in all of these scriptures that I've read and in that video, I believe Jesus is saying that whether or not you have a place to lay your head at night, or if you're grieving, or if you have a family issue or a need, your commitment to the living God supersedes it all. Now, when I initially thought of that, I'm like, I could not imagine, you know, God calling me away from my family to go to, say, Africa or something like that. I would just be, I don't know. I can't even comprehend that, really. But then I thought, you know, we have but a short time here in this place on earth to live out the Lord's call in our lives. You know, we can't follow if we look back and dwell on the past. We can't follow if we're worried about where we will sleep or what we will eat. You know, Jesus says in chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, he talks about not worrying. Well, what is that all about? Well, God's saying there that he'll provide all that we need to answer. Not just little bits and pieces. He'll provide everything that we need to answer his call in our lives so that we can follow. He'll provide us with food, shelter, clothing, and even a family, the church. Not just our immediate families, but our church family. Not just locally, but in the district. Not just in the district, but a world church as well. God is, in reality, God's taken away all of our excuses to not follow. He's eliminated them. But, so why don't we follow? Because we always seem to, in our minds or in our hearts, we come up with excuses or reasons not to follow. You know, much like the men in Luke 9, 57, 62, they came up with reasons why they couldn't follow. What will it take for us to take up our cross and follow? To, you know, leave the past where it is? I mean, because if we come to Christ, ask him to forgive us, to make us new, then he does just that. So if we go back, then are we new? I don't think so. We're still the same person. We just have a little bit newer knowledge. So we have to be ready to follow. We have to be ready to, you know, yeah, we're still going to deal with things. Yes, we're still going to have problems, but it can't stop us from moving forward. It can't stop us from marching towards that white part of the rope. So when our red part is done, we get to live in that white part forever. So what does that mean? Well, for me, it means letting go of my past. The abuse of my past. Being bullied and abused at home. The hurt that that caused. I can't let it affect where God wants me to go. You know, it means marching into the future in faith and trusting that God has made me new. It means to step outside of my comfort zones, standing up here. Right? When called to do so, it means praying for a complete stranger and with a complete stranger. When I was down visiting my mom when she was in the hospital, there was this little old Italian lady. Man, she must have only been like 4 feet tall. And her husband was there. He just finished getting triple bypass surgery. And literally a month after that, he's diagnosed with brain cancer. So he was in the same area my mother was in. So I don't know. I know now it was the Lord, but at the time, I didn't know what made me ask her if I could pray with her. But she heard me talking to my dad about creation versus science. We won't go into that. But so I prayed with her. And when I was finished praying, there weren't just two amens, myself and the little lady, there were seven. So it became obvious to me at that point that this is what the Lord was calling me to. So I had to make a conscious decision to actually follow this time. Not like the previous 3 years and just put it off. I know what it means now. It also means giving up some of my favorite activities or plans that I have. You know, like hockey Monday nights. I can give that up. It's nothing compared to what the Lord wants me to do. You know, it means being more patient with everyone around me. Those who have known me for a long time know that I used to have a really nasty temper. Not so much anymore. You know, I've allowed God to do what he needs to do. That's part of following as well. So what does it mean for all of us, or all of you? Will it mean that you may be called to another city? Will it mean working with the homeless? Will it mean that you give up your favorite activities or future plans? Will it mean giving up technology or embracing it? We have but little time to make an impact on people's lives. God calls us to make an impact on people's lives. We have little time to follow, little time to answer. So what's keeping us from answering God's call in our lives? Now, with regards to time, Jesus says this in Matthew 24, verses 36 to 37. He says, "We know not the hour or the time." We don't know when we'll be called home. So don't waste time. You know, we don't know when our walk here on earth with Jesus will come to an end. So will we die to ourselves today, pick up our cross, and commit to follow Christ? I have. Will you? Father God, we thank you that you love us, that you speak to us. We just pray, Father God, that in the coming days, the coming weeks, coming months, that you would really speak to our hearts and let us know what it is you want us to do. I pray, Father God, that you would open our hearts to following, to picking up our cross, to giving up the desires, our selfish desires, and following you wherever it is that you need us to go. I just pray, Father God, that you have spoken to our hearts today, and that you will just speak to us further and clarify things for us so that we will follow, Father God, so that we will not waste time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.